There ought to be a record called Things That Wings Things with Strings. Come on. Hello. Fine, not funny. I'll try something else. No, that's all I got. Things That Wings Things with Strings. Hey. Okay. Those days. I'll reel ourselves in a little bit. So I'll bring the giggle factor down about three notches. It's 503-733-2970. Hi there. It's 3 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of March of the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming by. We are live from the lushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you want to email us, you can also do that at rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, what have you. 503-733-2970. There are songs there that I only know from Wings' performance of them. I know the Wings watched them. Raindrops of the... Okay. I got to start getting more sleep at night because everything is disproportionately funny to me the last couple of days. Or maybe we're just hilarious. That's probably not it. It's probably that and the Claritin. Anywho. So there's the raindrops on road. These are a few of my favorite things. I don't even remember now that whole Wing montage. If that's something that I found on the internet, or if that's something we made, I think we might have made that.
I think a listener made it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, the Sexy Wing song, I have no idea what that's from.
The Sexy, what is Sexy Wing? Can you play that again, please?
The whole thing?
Just for the top.
Okay, this is...
Why do
I haven't heard this montage forever either, which we've labeled the best of Wing. Although that really is a relative statement, because they're all the best. And there's no countdown time on this computer. You can't see how long the track is left, so it just keeps going. And every time
I
you
had no
think
idea it was this long.
Every time you think it's done, so there's okay. There's the Carpenters. Can we just say that Carpenter song is secretly loved by everybody? Someone who says that they don't like Close to You by the Carpenters should be taken out and killed. Because they're a bad American is what they are. It's like saying you don't like Waterloo by ABBA. Wing has an entire album out of it's nothing but AC/DC covers. Why are these... I'm just going to make observations about every one of these songs as they go by. When did this song become an unofficial Christmas song? Have you noticed that people play this song a lot at Christmas? There's nothing in the song about Christmas.
They don't play it at Christmas.
Haven't you noticed that?
No.
Oh. We're done with this observation then. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's only my neighborhood. It seems like I hear my favorite things played a lot at the Yuletide season. Okay, I don't know what this song is.
This is Sexy Wing.
She's bringing Sexy Wing.
Can you stay here with like a cocktail dress and like a long slit?
Hello, sailor boy. You want a date?
A vision of love.
You try teriyaki chicken.
Vision of love.
2-for-1 with uniform. This is where she's stretching out on the table.
I guess it's her tiny chunk.
The slit in her dress just revealing a hint of wing size. I have no idea. I have no idea what this song is.
Oh, maybe Mariah Carey.
She's kissing a rose, then looking longingly at it. Is it a Mariah Carey song?
I'm pretty sure.
All right. We can be done. We can be done. The so-called best of Wing. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. There's a whole bunch of stuff to get through today. So we might as well start with... Well, I'll just start... There's a list of a bunch of stuff. It's a big news day. It's just a huge pile of... I can't even talk today. There's a huge pile of things that has been coming across my desk all day. I walked into the office, and every 5 minutes there's some fantastic news story. So we'll find out what's being prepped at the news desk in a moment. Is Obama really Obama? We'll get to the penis story and the cutting and the ow ow and the ooh it hurts. We'll get to that. We'll get to Wolfgang Puck, just so I can use the phrase Wolfgang Puck some more. Something apparently did really kill Anna Nicole Smith. We're beyond caring, but because I need a sense of closure, we'll talk about it. Phil Spector is nuttier than you could ever have imagined. What else? Hey, will you be my sex slave? No. What about if I have this gun? We'll also talk to Bob Costantini, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. We'll also talk to CNN radio correspondent James Roop, who is in Los Angeles. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. And let's see what else. Scotty J is I always get Scott Daly and Scotty J confused, and I'm sorry about that. But really, I'm only sorry to Scott Daly. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com will be here. Scotty J is creating a top five as we speak. And I think that there's other thing. I don't want to tease anything beyond that, because I got this whole list of observations, and there's a big pile of news stories, things that have been stacking up from the week. So we'll try to get to that. And whatnot. 503-733-2970. Rick, your wing radio montage is fantastic. Thank you, sir. Your wing montage is radio gold and realigns the tone of my entire day. Well done. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Well, we try to help. All right, yes, Vision of Love was, in fact, Mariah Carey's first big hit. Hey, listen to this. Rick, you are correct. A few of my favorite things is constantly played at Christmas time, says this email. Blah, 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 blah. Tony Bennett says he doesn't know why. Well, what do we care what Tony Bennett thinks? Now, my favorite things isn't a Tony Bennett song. It's The Sound of Music, right? Does my favorite thing predate The Sound of Music?
No. Isn't that Julie Andrews?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not. Why are we talking about this? We're joined today.
We're having a discussion of show tunes. It fits our demographic.
Let's do that every day.
Well, let's talk about them like this.
Sorry, come in here and talk about show tunes as you will with your kids.
I think Daddy knows a lot about show tunes. Being the KJ.
Totally. I bet Scotty's, I bet Scotty's house is filled with show tunes, whether he wants it or not. I bet he goes home and it's like the memory song is constantly playing. Like three out of five nights during the week, Monday through Friday, I would bet Mrs. J is filling the house with the sounds of the pajama game. That would just be my guess. I'm only speculating. Maybe Scotty's son is a show tune enthusiast. They have a wide-ranging musical taste in Scotty's house. Scotty's house. There's all kinds of musical tastes that are enjoyed in the Scotty household. All right. Yes. Scotty, I don't know. I drink away the sound of my wife.
Oh, good Lord. I hope she doesn't listen.
All right. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you doing today?
You know, I don't feel so bad about being mean to Scotty anymore, because he's just shooting himself in the foot.
It really is true. All right.
I'm good. I saw Amadon play last night.
Oh, is that the Irish thing?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were doing the soapbox thing. Didn't that just happen? The soapbox derby?
No, soapbox derby. Well, the first meeting is this Saturday.
All right.
See, it was 7 months ago. Because the first meeting's 5 months before the race.
Yeah, at least you know
how you're excited.
Not me. You know you're going to die doing that. I'm not trying to be all freaky and all.
No, you're totally
Linda Blair
right.
And The Exorcist about it. I'm going to die in that room. But
I'm with all my girlfriends in like a basically a cardboard box that
all
we've
drunk.
Built, all wasted,
careening down a hill at 55 miles an hour,
hoping to God that our braking system works.
A braking system constructed by the same drunken girl. So,
and almost getting run over, you know, by all the other cars that we're racing.
Fantastic. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification.
All right, the stories are changing as we speak. There's a lot going on. First, the House has just approved pulling out of Iraq by fall of 08. Get ready for the president to go ballistic at any moment. He's supposed to speak shortly. It's rat poison contaminating food, blamed for the deaths of pets nationwide. Misguided youth vandalized the Hogwarts Express. Houdini's relatives want his body exhumed.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we talking? Oh, well, I guess we're.
Who do you need a magician?
Who? No, that's not funny. I was going to try to do a who, and then you'd. Houdini, and then you'd say, but there's no oop to that alley. There's no response to that call. You know, I kept trying to recreate that story with the hiccuping girl, whose name was Miss Me. That was our shining golden moment. That's the thing that Tim and I will be doing on the state fair circuit someday. Tim and I will be in walkers, sat there with oxygen tanks, Harvey Korman style, and the people will come and they will pay us $3, and Tim will go, the hiccuping girl's name was Miss Me, and I'll say, who? And he'll go, me, and I'll say, who? And he'll say, me, and then everybody will applaud, and we'll go back to our trailers and drink our troubles away. I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait. Oh, good God almighty. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Just making some notes about things I want to get through today. And things that I want to... First of all, and I say this completely apropos of nothing, before we even talk about last night or what else is coming up today, or this hideous thing that Scotty said when I came in today, which has now just become a recurring phenomenon, I came into... Do you ever just catch the last part of a conversation where you walk into a room, or this happens a lot in elevators. You walk into a building and you're trying to go up to the 15th floor. You get on the second floor. The elevator door opens. There's two guys in there. And as the door opens, you hear the guy going, and the line will get rid of the flesh. And then they sort of look at you, and then they just sort of awkwardly shift to their feet and look down at the ground for the duration of the elevator trip. You always get to the end of conversations, and it's always just the most insane things. So I swear to God, I came in, and I don't know what he was describing, but I came in, this is a God's honest truth. Kristen Bowie, were she still here, Kristen Bowie would attest to the truth of what I'm about to say. But I just walk into the studio this morning, and leave alone the fact, I mean, it's just weird on its face, but it's Scotty and some, you know, poor woman who's stuck in the studio with him, just the two of them, no real way to get away. Scotty's standing in the doorway, so he can't be gotten by. I walk into the studio this morning to drop off a piece of paper for Kristen Bowie. I come into the studio, and Scotty's saying, so I like to come into the weekend and give a reach around. And that's all I heard.
What?
That's all I heard.
You heard him say that?
That's all I heard. I like to come in on the weekend. And then he just used the word, and then he looked at me and goes, hey, Rick, how's it going? And that was just full, that was, well, he's typing clarify. How do I clarify that? I have no idea what that means. I mean, not in your world. Not in the world of Scotty J.
What did he say?
And I don't know in what context you would be using that phrase toward poor Kristen, who's just standing in the studio trying to run the Stephanie Miller show. All right, well, we'll clarify it in just a second. I'm just saying, we'll clarify. I don't know what it means that you did it in a studio. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't click. I don't want to know what goes on in this. That would explain the grease, I suppose.
Now, that's tomorrow.
Rip. With that, I'm laughing. One of the weirdest conversations in here. That and Tim Riley saying, I stand 15 feet away from the garbage disposal. I don't want to be sucked down into that thing. Oh, good God. And I don't even know why that came up this morning. Oh, it's because this hideous book that you were talking about, Sarah. Is that book out? We'll have Scotty clarify his comment
what
about
book?
The studio. The comment about the...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I guess I just... I was trying to...
Why are you making boobs with your hands?
You were referencing this morning a book that had come out by a former colleague of yours. Wasn't there something about boobs in the title?
Oh, that wasn't a colleague of mine.
It was a person
oh, yeah,
you knew.
How to Lose your Boobs in Your Job in 5 Weeks.
Now, is this a real book, or is this a book that you are wackily referencing?
No, I really think it's real.
Can you say, because we don't want to mention the person's name if this is just something you're making up as a married thing.
Why would I make that up? That's a terrible thing to make up.
No one knows what we're talking about. I came in this morning, I gotta get this under control, Sarah was over there, you were reading something online, and you're like, hey, do you remember so-and-so that used to do a show after mine? What was it? I don't know. Who is this person, and how do you know this woman you were talking
about?
Oh,
no, I don't know them. They did, like, one of the syndicated morning shows.
Oh, so
it's
not like a Portland woman.
No.
So she's never going to hear this.
No.
Okay. What happens in Portland stays in Portland, as Tim has noticed.
Much to our dismay. None of us in the creative classes, we're often spoken.
Nothing we do here, however creative or well-produced, is ever seen or appreciated by anybody who doesn't live here.
We live behind the Willamette Christmas.
Nothing we do here is ever viewed by anybody who's not a member of the Portland metropolitan community.
Anyway, so there was some woman who did a syndicated, like, news talk show on NBC. And she has apparently, I hate even mentioning this, but now we've got to clarify it. And I don't want to mention it because it's going to make him all squirmy and awkward.
It's really awkward to hear.
Because it was a woman who hosted a program on NBC, like a chat show, as CBS. They say in Britain, on CBS. On a
you know her name? I found it.
Sure.
Renee Seiler.
Aunt Seiler. I barely knew her. Anyway. She's not that hot girl that was on The View then. And that would have been ABC, I guess.
No, I know which one you're talking about. The girl with the big boobs.
Yes. So.
That's not her.
No.
Well, now she has no boobs.
See, that's the thing. This girl has written, and I don't mean to sound flip about this. I honestly don't. But she, in the space of 1 month, she got fired. And then they said, hey, you have breast cancer, or you might have breast cancer.
She has a 40% chance of getting breast cancer, maybe, because it runs in her family.
All right, so a 40% chance. That's less than the flip of a coin. And so the only reason I mention this is because we made this comment earlier. We should clarify this. That this woman had written a book called, I swear to Christ, this is the actual title of this Renee Seiler woman from CBS television. She's written this book called How to Lose Your Job and Your Boobs in a Month.
It's breasts.
Oh, and breasts. Well, like that makes it better.
Like how to lose your breasts and your job in 5 short weeks.
Who would buy such a book?
Oh, you know we will.
I've been longing to do that. I just haven't had the mechanism. So she, there's a double, whatever, the hideous, the mastectomy or the whatever, just because they told her she might get it? I don't want to talk about cancer. Cancer's just, we did all cancer talk.
We've been talking about
yesterday.
Cancer too much lately.
I'm just saying that it's a hideous title for a book. I can't really imagine, I don't really know who sees that book on the shelf and then decides that's a must buy. That's all I'm saying. All right. And then that led me to a whole discussion about cancer. And about how cancer is inevitably going to kill us. I'm not scared of anything else. I'm not scared of car accidents most of the time. I'm not scared of big pieces of metal falling out of the sky. I'm not scared of the super flu. I'm not scared of bird flu. I'm not scared of SARS. I'm not really scared of anything except for cancer because I've just resigned myself to the fact that it's either going to be cancer or a garbage disposal that gets me. To which Tim immediately said, I stay well away from the garbage disposal. And he said it without a trace.
An active fear of the garbage disposal.
Without a trace of humor. Without a trace of comedy. I what did you say? You stand like 12 feet away before you even turn it on?
Yeah, it's a powerful thing.
You don't want to be a cautionary tale?
I do not want to be, no.
Oh, good God almighty. You know, garbage disposals are freaky, though, when you really think about it. You really think about the idea that you do this. Let me ask you this. When you are reaching into the garbage disposal, first of all, I mean, this has got to be a pretty commonly held fear. They ought to make some device that goes into the garbage disposal for you, like a little grabby claw kind of a thing, like kids have, that's sort of an extendable robot or robot sort of claw that you could grab things with. They ought to make a thing that goes into the garbage disposal for you to take out hard to dispose of items like rinds of some kind, or because what is it? Garbage disposals, they used to be able to do everything but citrus rinds, I think. I think that's all they can't do now. I think garbage disposal can do everything but sit like orange rinds they can't do. They ought to create some sort of a grabbing device that goes into the garbage disposal that is also fitted with a tiny camera, because it would be simultaneously fascinating and then useful, because then you want to stick your hand in there, because you know this is true. Whenever you put your hand into a garbage disposal, first of all, what do? Are you ever looking at the sink? No. When you put your hand in the garbage disposal, you keep your eyes so firmly fixed on that switch that turns the garbage disposal on and off. You keep your eyes glued to the garbage disposal on-off switch. Just like if you're afraid of flying, you keep your eyes glued to the wing outside. Because if you look away from that wing on the plane for even a moment, the wing will tear off and the plane will plummet you into a fiery ball of death-laden doom. So you go to take something out of the garbage disposal, and of course, what do you immediately have in your head? Every nightmare scenario where, like, your wife is coming home, somebody walks in, hey, where's the light switch? They go for the light switch, they hit the garbage disposal, bam, one sleeve too many. These are all fears that everybody shares. It seems like they ought to have advanced beyond that at some point. Well, let's do these, unbelievably, let's do these calls about garbage disposals, which is apparently very relatable. And then we'll break. And then we got Bob Costantini, who is not relatable to anybody in any way. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hey, Rick, I got a new reason for you to screw garbage disposal.
Okay, Tim, are you listening?
You know, the brand new Incinerator.
New reason to fear garbage disposals. You don't want to miss it. Yes, the Incinerator, sir.
I saw a commercial the other day for a brand new one that came out. You never have to worry about putting bones down the drain anymore because they'll take care of those too.
There's a new one that does bones?
Yeah, they have a demonstration. It'll grind up a steak bone.
Why would you? I mean, what is the possible application for such a device? I mean, really, how often are you eating things? Let me ask you this. How often does your nightly meal come with a big bone inside of it? I mean, really.
I guess it depends on how much of a carnivore you are, but.
I suppose. You just know it's a matter. And look, I'm not trying to knock the good people at Incinerator, but you just know. You know that it's just a matter of time before you read a news story or you hear some sort of a blurb on the television. You know, the man had apparently disposed of the co-eds over the course of 1 week by putting their bodies down a garbage disposal that was equipped to demolish bone. Sandra, blah, 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 evening news. That's totally going to be what that is. So, all right. Well, that's creepy. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go. Hey, Tim, your garbage disposal will get rid of bones now. There'll be nothing left of you to save. They won't be able to.
I can't think of any reason why a bone would be in my garbage disposal if I'm not a carnivore.
That is a fair point.
I don't nibble on animal bones.
Not even for fun?
Not even for fun.
All right. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hey, one time my former girlfriend lost her ring in the garbage disposal, and while she was digging for it, I thought I would be helpful and flip on the last switch while her fingers were down there, and it was the disposal switch.
I knew it was only a matter of time.
Well,
two calls in.
The light switch is always next to that switch.
Why did that? And that's another question.
Even in my house.
Hey, in your house of tomorrow?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
The survey that you guys took, I could have answered the one that said, all Japanese ex-girls are missing their fingertips.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. So it took her fingertips, I was going to say clean off, but clean probably didn't enter to the equation. That was probably a ragged tear.
Well, they are all the same size as her pinky now.
Really?
Yes.
We all looked at our hands. All of us, right now, we all lifted up our hands. So, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I have to live with that the rest of my life, even though we had a horrible breakup, but at least I got all my fingers.
One must always look on the sunny side, sir. I hate to ask this, but since who knows when we're going to get another call like this? I mean, probably the next call. But I mean, now when was this?
It was quite a while back. She was digging in there, and I go, hey, dummy, why don't you turn on the light? And then
she's the dumb one. So did it take now? Even your fingertips, it seems to me. Here's the question: how far? In other words, does the bone inside your fingers go all the way to the tip? Or where does the bone stop? Is there bone underneath your fingernail? Not like right underneath, but I mean, if you were to like have x-ray vision, look at your fingernail. Is there bone under there? Where does the bone stop? And is there just like maybe half an inch of just sort of just skin at the tips of your fingers? Because I'm wondering if you had one of those new ones that was able to dispose of her bones as well. Okay, Scrooge. I don't feel he wanted to talk. I don't think he wanted to dwell on the fact that he removed all of his girlfriend's fingertips. Ex-girlfriend. Yeah. Ex-fingers.
Man. That sucks.
Yes. Yeah, more so for her. And then for him. Really, by the time you get to us, it doesn't suck at all. We're so far down the line from that incident. We're like 100 degrees separated. All right. Let's do one more. And maybe this is about garbage disposals. Maybe it's not. Greg, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I went to high school with Renee Seiler.
Oh, who wrote the How to Lose Your Job and Your Breast in a Month.
Yeah, and from what I remember, there wasn't really a lot there to lose.
Well, that's a terrible thing to say. That's an awful thing to say. And then he laughs.
Well, the reason being is she, like, dropped out of existence after high school. Nobody knew what happened to her. Apparently, she moved to, like, Atlanta or someplace. Yeah. She's doing, like, the Oprah route. And then she landed that job on CBS. She was on the morning show.
Right.
And my wife says, oh, come and look. It's Renee Seiler from high school. And I'm like, okay. And we turn. And in high school, she used to do the the, like, the Butterfly McQueen kind of voice all the time. You know, I don't know. And she's, dude, with the real. And then she's on the morning, the CBS morning show. Good morning. How are you? I'm Renee.
They beat that right out of her.
It was just hilarious. I'm like, well, it looks like her, but it sure doesn't sound like her.
No, they do that. It's like that. All right. Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
I'll let you get back to your train.
All right,
like a
radio day.
Mia Farrow character. Never mind. There apparently is an Emerson brand incinerator, by the way. It'll get rid of your bones.
I have an Emerson toaster.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I got an Emerson CD player.
I got an Emerson radio at home, actually. Emerson, incidentally, is ranked as one of the single worst companies you could work for in the entire world. I read a big report about that in the New York Times the other day. We should take a break. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you've had a garbage disposal-related injury or you're just plain crazy, we'll talk to you at that number. Later on, Bob Costantini, Tim Riley, Scotty J, Scott Daly, and so forth. You say that's the Rick Emerson Show. Okay, hello there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We got Bob Costantini from CNN Radio, who apparently makes Sarah cringe. You cringe or you just dread it?
Oh, I love noodles.
Okay.
No, I like him. It's so awkward because he doesn't like you and you don't like him.
I don't think that's true. I think my read on this goes back and forth.
See, but it's just your huge ego that makes you think that everyone likes you. When in fact he doesn't.
Believe you me, I'm under no impression that everybody likes me. Seriously, you want to read the email I got after talking to Dennis Miller for 12 minutes yesterday. Dennis Miller on the show, it's like I went out, it's like I went and killed the Christ child. It's not that Bob. I mean, do you think that Bob goes home and when he knows? See, now it sounds like I'm laughing at his discomfort, and I guess I am. So c'est la vie. But like Lisa clearly knew she was going to be gone today. When they're calling in sick day, because she said yesterday, she's like, I'm not going to be there Friday. You're going to get noodles. Grown man. You're going to get Bob? Because he's Italian. And all Italians must be called noodles, apparently. I never really thought about that. So she clearly knew she was going to be gone today. It was not a thing like, you know, wasn't the thing where she woke up and couldn't talk. She knew she was going to be gone. And so as a corollary to that, Bob Costantini clearly knew as of yesterday that he was going to be on today. Bob knows that we book Lisa almost without exception. We book her every morning at 11:30. So Bob, oh, there he is. He knew, Scotty, just keep him on, don't put him on hold.
He's
for
gonna
a second.
Put him on hold.
Don't put him on hold. Don't put him on hold. Just keep him talking. Just like a jumper. Just keep him talking.
You know, he can probably, Scotty has a radio in there.
Don't mention his ex-wife. Not Bob, that's a line from the hostage, from the negotiator. I'm just saying, do you suppose that Bob Costantini, when he knows he's going to be on with us the next day, do you suppose he goes home and thinks about how can I be better for the Rick Emerson Show?
No.
You think he tolerates this grudgingly?
See, this is this huge ego coming into play.
It's not that. Do you think
that everyone's life revolves around you?
Well, that's largely true. All right,
Bob has like 100 stations that he talks to.
All right. Do you think when he becomes powerful enough, he'll quit coming on?
Yes.
He'll use tech clout and never come on the Rick Emerson Show again. All right, Scotty.
I wonder what Scotty's talking to him about.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the hill, will you please divided attention to Bob Costantini.
Hello, Rick.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing today?
Oh, quite busy up here on the hill today.
All right, well, I won't take up too much of your time.
We've been discussing the war resolution, of course.
Now, color me stupid here, but this is the same, and I really do get confused about this, about one hapless Democratic gesture followed by another. Is this the same non-binding, or is this now? No, this is now the theoretically binding war resolution, which will undoubtedly be vetoed. Am I right?
Yes, this is actually a war spending bill and would be binding if it got to the president's desk. That is not likely to happen no matter what. The House only passed it by 218-212, which is the narrowest of majorities, really, here. And there were 14 Democrats who voted against it because they believe that there should be no more funding of the war, period. You know, the president in his statement a short time ago even noted that, you know, I'm going to veto this and my veto will be sustained. So, you know, don't hold this up for, you know, political gamesmanship, those kinds of things. But it would be binding if it got to the president's desk in this way. But that's not going to happen because even the Senate will not put this kind of bill forward.
Let me just ask you a question, just flat out, and this is not, I'm not asking for your personal opinion, but merely your read on this as a journalist for CNN, the world's premier news gathering and disseminating organization.
Thank you very much.
I don't mean to sound flip when I say this, but really, honestly, truly, why do the Democrats bother with these things that they know? This isn't Sparta. There's no noble defeat in this. They're just going to try and fail. I mean, why do they not focus their energy on something that they think that they can get passed? They know it's going to get vetoed, and they know they cannot override said veto, and it's going to be a waste of their time, ergo a waste of my tax dollars.
Well, here's the way it will play out in the end, more than likely. You are right. I mean, these kinds of restrictions on the president are not likely to pass whatsoever. There will have to be at some point, though, a sit-down session between House negotiators and Senate negotiators to come up with the funding bill, because everyone agrees that, or seems to agree here on Capitol Hill, or the majorities seem to agree here on Capitol Hill, that troops, the fighting should be funded, the body armor, all that stuff that's in this bill, you know, to continue the war in Iraq, and of course the war in Afghanistan, which we should point out, all of that needs to be funded. So, you know, how do you go about chipping away at the president's ability to, you know, keep the war going the way he sees fit? And that's, you know, it is a gesture, if you will, but it is the sort of thing that the Democrats believe that they can get at least started and send a serious message to the president, and then hopefully once all the negotiations have to start between the Hill and the White House, that they might be able to get something in there. And of course, you know, there are some Democrats who do believe that funding should be cut off completely, and the Democratic leadership is nowhere near to agreeing on that kind of thing.
Right? I feel like sending a message to George W. Bush is like holding a dictionary in front of a cow. There's going to be no reading of that message, and even if it could read it, it can't really, it's not really going to do any good. The cow's not going to change being a cow.
Well, he said they sent their message today in his statement. He said they sent their message. Now they have to be serious about it because I will veto this bill.
All right. Well, this just seems to be the MO of the Democratic Party, certainly, where they celebrate, as the guy says in primary colors, they celebrate their great moral victory that they forced a veto. So, well, all right. Now what are you going to do? Hey, Rick.
That isn't even likely to happen, truthfully.
Real quickly about John Edwards. So this is just to wrap this up, because there were so many conflicting, at least with time, there's so many conflicting stories. So John Edwards was running, now has revealed that his wife Elizabeth has had her cancer has recurred, can't be cured, probably can be treated successfully, or, you know, kind of keep it contained. This isn't, he will, his presidency, her run for the presidency will continue concurrent to this. He's not going to change that.
Yes, and it seems as though, and I do believe that both of them are out on the campaign trail today, in possibly separate events. I'm not exactly sure, the impression that you got from that is that this should not stop his presidential campaign from going full speed. The doctors have indicated, if we believe everything we were told yesterday, they've indicated that it is treatable, not necessarily curable, and that whatever the long-term prognosis for her would be is something that just no one can really say for sure, and will have to play itself out. But at this point, both of them And obviously, it was a very extraordinary scene yesterday when someone gets up and has a national news conference to discuss a health matter.
Sure.
And then has an oncologist come on as well.
I don't mean to sound, crass about this or to sound opportunist or whatever, but did he mention, I mean, just because, and not even for political gain, just because it's a thing, it's the first thing I thought of. Did he mention the state of our healthcare system as he was talking about the fact that his wife got hit with the cancer stick again?
No, she did actually in an offhanded way, it seems. She talked about how they have, both of them have the support that they need, the ability to get the treatment that she would need, that kind of thing. But no, it wasn't a direct reference in any way to the state of healthcare in this country, even though Edwards has made that one of the key parts of his presidential race.
All right, my friend, enjoy your weekend. Bob Costantini,
my
will
pleasure.
Speak with you in the future.
As always.
There you go. Bob Costantini on the Hill, ladies. Thank you. Thank you so much. He rides off into the sunset, into the horizon. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by.
That didn't go too poorly.
I go back and forth about whether he... I don't believe that Bob Costantini dislikes me personally. I do believe that he probably considers this show a debasement of his journalistic training and ethics. But, you know, whatever. You gotta get over those. Dennis, hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, how you doing?
What's
I
up?
Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
I got a story about garbage disposals. I guess you'd be garbage disposal, but I work for Multnomah County.
Yes.
And a couple of years ago, they closed down the old coroner's building, and they sent me over there to secure a basement door.
This is like the medical, like where they do autopsies?
Yeah, you bet. And I went over there. It was in the summertime, and everybody's moved out, and fixed the latch in the basement door, and I went upstairs and was just looking around, and I'd heard these stories about these disposals that were just massive.
Right.
And... they are huge. I mean, you talk about getting rid of some parts. These things, you can put everything down there.
How long ago was this?
A couple of years ago.
And so does it look like a garbage disposal you would have at your home? In other words, is it recessed into the ground or into a sink or something, or is it like a washing machine?
No, it's underneath. It's underneath the stainless steel counter, but they're massive.
And then you just sort of sweep everything into there, and it just gets rid of your whatnot.
You bet, and I walked around there, and gee, there's still blood in the floor back there when they had the coolers, you know, and I'm going, and it smelled like bad meat.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I looked at the disposal because I'd heard about them, you know, for years, and I went and looked down there, and gee, there's still hair and stuff
encrusted
on these things. And I'm going,
that's officially the worst thing we've ever heard on the show.
Well, I mean, it was all part of the business. But I figured, geez, you moved out. Let's do a little bit of cleaning here. But
they're not going to get their deposit back.
Well, I hope that they took all that stuff out before they got rid of the property. But
I thought that all that stuff went into an incinerator. Well, maybe you have to incinerate it before you can incinerate it.
Boy, I don't know. I didn't see any incinerators around there, but I tell you what, it was kind of an eye opener.
Just going out the back in little jars.
Anyway,
thank you, sir. God bless you, and thank you for sharing with us what I think really must be considered the worst moment, certainly of this.
And then it's
so
lunchtime too. Anyway, great show. I love your show.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you. That's Dennis. Well, that was horrifying.
Yeah.
All right. It's 5037. Thank you. It's 503-733-297. And Tim noted this. I was walked into the break room, and Tim is back there. Why? I mean, it really is 2007. Why did they design garbage disposal so that the goddamn on switch is right next to the light switch? Who thinks of that? Why would you do, in the name of Christ Almighty, why would you do that? That seems like such colossally bad planning. And let me ask you another question. Am I even in Tim's House of Tomorrow? It's apparently this way.
I have taken out the light bulb where the switch goes for the light, so I never think that I need that light.
So you would never use it.
Right, correct.
So you,
my kitchen is amply lighted anyway.
So you are never tempted to be like, and I think I need to, you know, and
exactly.
Suddenly you're stumped. Am I the only one who feels this way? And it's not like I live in a house that was built in 1510. Am I the only one who feels like bathrooms are designed to maximize your chance of dropping a hairdryer into either the sink or to some other thing that's filled with water. There are outlets positioned all over my bathroom. None of the electrical outlets are positioned in any way that would make it logical so that if you drop the thing, it didn't fall into the bathroom. Every time, hairdryer... if you dropped, like if you were standing, because you have to stand in front of the mirror if you're drying your hair, more than likely, not that I have to do that, but I'm just saying, if you're drying your hair, because you got to be running a comb through it or a brush or something, and every time you go to do it, you are obliged to stand in front of the mirror, I would say in my bathroom, this is truly relatable. I'd like to point out to CBS Radio exactly how relatable this content is. But in my bathroom, if you're blow drying your hair, hey, you sneeze, and it goes, you just drop it, I would say it's like an 80% chance it's going to go into something that has water in it. Probably the toilet, because it's going to bounce off the sink, and because of where the outlet is positioned, it's going to fall to the left, and the lowest, in the sink between the counter and the floor is the toilet. And the toilet, you know, is fairly large. It's going to go right in there. And I, truthfully, to be honest, because I'm not a scientist, I don't understand what happens if the hairdryer is plugged in and you drop it into the toilet. Sarah Dillon in the back.
I don't know.
See? No one knows. But it seems like something scary would happen, doesn't it? Nothing good's going to come from that. It's not like you're dropping it into the, like taking it to the shower with you. But, I mean, if you had your hairdryer plugged in...
And you drop it in the toilet?
Drop it into the toilet. What happens? Does it short out all your electricity? Does it catch fire? Does it arc up and take off your face? No one knows.
Did you want to experiment?
It's Spring Break Week is coming up shortly, and all the kids are going to be bored in their hotel rooms.
Kids, the Rick Emerson Show needs you to help us learn. Well, let's take, I don't know, these calls are probably not about the hairdryer, but because we're on like a four-hour delay. So, let's see. Well, let's just get some of these. I just wonder about that. Like, here's another thing, and I know I've asked this question before. I don't think anybody ever answered me this. Here's the thing I think about. What if you lived by the seashore selling seashells, and you had a long extension cord? You plug the extension cord into your house. You walk the extension cord, but the end of the extension cord isn't a plug, it's just two bare wires. So you plug one end in, you know, like in your outlet, and then you take the extension cord and you walk out to the ocean with the exposed, you know, ends, and you just toss it into the ocean. What happens? If someone is standing in the ocean right there, do they die? Where is Mr. Wizard now that I need the answers to these sorts of things? Mr. Wizard, whither thou? Quo vadis, Mr. Wizard. Mr. Wizard's got to be dead. That guy has to be 150 by now. He's dead. He's probably hella dead. All right, well, let's take... wait, here we go. No, we've got an answer to this.
Okay, good.
Mike. Oh, no, there's multiple mics here.
Hey.
Hey, we'll go do mic number one. Hey, what's up?
Pretty good. Hey, your garbage disposal light switch?
Yes.
The reason they're so close together is because the electrician bundles wires together when they build the house. If he was to move it, say, to the other side of the sink, it would cost more.
So because it's that 15 cents worth of wire they don't want to string...
It's about $4 worth of wire. Plus, you have $30 to $45 an hour for an electrician.
That's true. So it's landlords that are the problem.
And, you know, to solve the whole problem of sticking your hand in a garbage disposal when you're cleaning it out, reach underneath the sink and unplug it.
Oh, is there a plug?
There's an outlet underneath the sink. All you have to do is unplug them.
Right.
And usually right next to that outlet is usually the outlet for your dishwasher if something were to happen to it.
Excellent. These are all things I don't know. I just sometimes on this show I feel great about myself. Sometimes I realize how I'm not a real man in any way. All right.
And your hair dryer question?
Yeah.
That's why you have a GFI outlet in your bathroom.
Sure.
Ground fault interrupter.
Yeah.
When the electricity hits water, it automatically clicks itself. It has its own tiny little circuit breaker inside the outlet.
Right.
That's what the little red plug's for.
Right. Oh, yeah, okay. Now, wait a minute. Now, my outlets in the bathroom don't have that little red plug.
Well, then what's going to happen is after so many seconds, you get enough amperage kicked back to your circuit breaker, it will click your circuit breaker.
So it'll blow, because some of my outlets, like the newer room in my house, there was a room that was built later on, that has the red plug, the other one's not. So it would blow back after a while into the circuit, turn it off. Now, but if I was, for example, in the shower, but I would be dead by that point if I was, like, in the bath, right?
It depends on the amperage of your circuit breaker. I mean, you know, for instance, when I was taking industrial mechanics in high school, when we had our electricity segment of it. Our shop teacher used to be able to, you know, plug two bare wires into an outlet, hang on to it, and then have a light bulb glow in his other hand. It all depends on your own body and how much electricity your body can handle.
Fantastic. That's the sort of thing you must learn through painful trial and error, I would imagine.
Yeah, and when you did bad in his shop, like put paper clips into the outlets to spark them.
Yes.
He had a hand crank generator. He used to make you stand in front of the class and hang on to two leads and hand crank the generator.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
You bet, man.
All right, there you go. I love shop teachers.
Don't screw around.
Let's do just some more and then we'll break. Mike, hello.
Hey, how's it going, Ray?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, he got most of the problem right, but the other thing that you don't have to worry about is pretty much every electrical appliance made after like 1972 has its own circuit breaker in it. And they actually did this on Mythbusters. It was a great, great little episode where they tried to kill each other by dropping a hairdryer into the bathtub.
Fantastic.
And if you've got any sort of modern appliance, it's got its own little circuit breaker in it, and it immediately shuts off, and it's pretty much impossible now to die by dropping something in the bath.
Well, that's too bad. That's how I planned on going out. Now I have to rethink the whole thing.
No, rest easy, my friend, for you are safe, thanks to the wonders of modern technology.
I'm sorry. I feel like I should have been prepared with hold on. Seriously, hold on a second. I'm going to have you say that again in like 3 seconds. Hold on. Really, this absolutely deserves... Okay, sir, you might...
Yeah,
have
it's not
loud.
Like I have anything better to do, but, yeah.
All right. All right, go ahead. Okay, just roll that again anytime, sir.
Thanks to the wonders of modern technology, capitalism on the move. You are safe, Rick Emerson. Bathe easy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here we go. God bless you. All right, good. That's Mike. All right. Yeah, we can't tell that.
That's cool.
503-733-2970. We'll take a show. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'm just reading off the screen here. Scotty's saying I saw the show. Blah, blah, blah. We'll take a break. We come back. We have Tim and then Joe around the corner. We'll talk about garbage disposals that turn on automatically. So we'll get Joe around the corner. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Scott Daly, also Scotty J's Top 5. Like it's a 3, Donna Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.